The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 202. It was just a few weeks ago that I was joined by the pro wrestling pundits Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze to chat about SummerSlam, the big pay-per-view event of the summer from World Wrestling Entertainment. And those two gentlemen return as we're going to discuss what happened at the pay-per-view, who won their matches, what storylines have come out of those encounters in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And we even hit on some of the other big wrestling news of the week, which of course is that USA Network will now be the home of NXT, and we might possibly have a Wednesday night wrestling war on our hands. So we hit on that. We even also discuss NXT TakeOver Toronto, which I should probably explain that you're going to hear a little banter between myself and DJ Joey Blaze, where he makes accusations that there's some type of bias or conspiracy against Johnny Gargano. And it's very funny. It'll give you a chuckle. But in complete honesty, we had discussed off air that I just haven't been a fan of his last few matches. There was just something that didn't click for me to be invested in his matches. So that is where that will come from. Again, I hope that you find it humorous, and you know, I hope that you enjoy the episode. Speaking of enjoyment, I would like to let you know, as I mentioned him a couple of times in the conversation, because I did go watch SummerSlam with my pal and friend of the podcast, Justin Dortch, but I would probably not be doing him any service not to let you know that his wrestling event under the banner of the Ohio Wrestling Alliance is rapidly approaching. That's right. The OWA is going to present First in Fight on September 29th, 3 p.m. at the Big Bar, which is on OSU's campus. You definitely want to check it out. The roster is a who's who of independent pro wrestling in the Midwest. And if you need any details, all you got to do is go over on Twitter or Instagram and follow them at Ohio Wrestling A1, or go over to the Facebook page. And all you got to do is search for Ohio Wrestling Alliance and it'll pop right up there. You can get information on the matches, on where to buy tickets and all that stuff. It's good to see that Justin's dream of running a show is coming to fruition. And so help a guy out. Come on out if you got nothing going on the 29th of September and check out some great wrestling with OWA First in Fight. And I almost forgot. I got to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, and various other collectibles. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the fine folks over there, or check them out online at wgcomics.com, or find them on Facebook at facebook.com/wgcomics. I'm going to throw it to a quick break now, ladies and gentlemen, and on the other side of that break, I sit down with the pro wrestling pundits Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, and we talk all about SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits to dissect and talk about what went down at SummerSlam. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
Bonjour, Monsieur Orlando. Je m'appelle Joseph. Comment allez-vous ce soir?
Bien.
Très bien?
Très bien. Oui.
Oui.
And of course, Ringside Ran.
Greetings from the Golden Ghetto.
Now, for those folks listening at home, wondering what the hell we're doing talking in French, apparently, I have a lot of listeners in France, and they all peaked around that August 8th, August 9th time frame. So that was the last time we were all together and we talked about SummerSlam. So apparently our wrestling opinion matters in France.
It must. What's also equally as nice is I am a huge fan of both French fries and French toast. So, and I'm obviously bilingual. I know how to speak un peu de français. So
there you go.
Once again, I emphasize bilingual.
And you also were a big mark for the fabulous Rougeau brothers.
Oh, definitely. So we.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about SummerSlam.
La Resistance. Ooh.
How about Frenchie Martin?
Dead.
Rene Dupree.
Who was part of La Resistance.
How about Rick Martel?
The model.
What's Pat Patterson?
Like I said, I'm bilingual. Right. Right.
All right. So this time, I paid attention, by the way, and marked down who we all said would win from the preview episode so we can kind of compare notes on that. But let's start off talking about a couple of the matches that were on the pre-show. And I got to be honest with you, with the pre-show, I tried to watch, but my feed for the WWE Network was just total trash throughout the entire SummerSlam pay-per-view, but it was incredibly bad during the pre-show. So there were giant parts that I did not get to see. I don't think I missed too much except for one match, but let's go ahead and kick things off with the match that was, I don't know when it was announced, but it was not announced last time we talked. The new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, defeating the Iconics.
The hometown girl, Alexa Bliss,
Columbus,
Ohio.
From here.
Yeah, yeah. She's the hometown.
They're in Toronto.
Yes.
She's our hometown girl.
Okay.
She's your homegirl. You need to put on a shirt, Alexa is my homegirl. So a couple things. A, I remember you speaking of you watching SummerSlam and those issues happening, but you also was mentioning a certain pizza pie. I got to ask before we get into this, was the pizza delicious that evening?
The pizza was fantastic, by the way.
Was it extreme pepperoni? Is that what it
was? It was extreme pepperoni from...
What, did Tommy Dreamer deliver it?
Guido.
Guido.
The FBI and Tommy Rich, they stopped by and delivered it.
That's Big Sally.
It was fantastic. Nice. It was very well done. I would say who it is. What pizza parlor we got it from, I should say. But the there was a small problem with the order. So shall we just say that we got comped that pizza.
I see.
So,
even better.
Plus you don't believe in payola. So.
Yeah, so there
no free plugs here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what did you guys think about this match with the Iconics taking the loss to Cross and Bliss?
I'm a big fan of the Iconics. To me, they're the only natural tag team in the women's division.
Well, one of the things that I was just this past week, I watched Table for Three, which is hilarious. We're talking about sponsorships. Now all of a sudden, it looks like it's sponsored by Applebee's.
Yeah.
But Braun Strowman sat down with your favorite WWE female wrestler, Ember Moon, the Sheenom, and Alexa Bliss, and they were talking about it. But real quick, Ember Moon had a really nice opinion on all this. She said, even though her and Alexa are friends, she wouldn't want a team because she wants to be a singles wrestler. She wants to see tag teams with the tag title. So, you know, like what we've had in the past. And I took that point, and I go, and it's just strange because not too long after that, obviously Alexa is in this thrown together tag team, and they have the tag titles. I don't think Alexa and Nikki should have the titles. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it was an okay match, but I'd have put the Iconics back over, made them the two-time women's champions.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the WWE Cruiserweight title match. This is one that I only saw just a small part of it, again, because of the glitchiness of the WWE Network. But Drew Gulak retains over Oney Lorcan. Thoughts on that match, gentlemen?
I liked it. I liked the direction of this push for Drew Gulak, which I spoke on the mm-hmm. on the preview episode. So I'm definitely behind that. It was a decent match for sure.
Sure. All right. And then the last match that was on the pre-show, Buddy Murphy defeats Apollo Crews by disqualification.
I think Rand has this one.
Rand?
Hey, I like this.
Because
there was interference by Rowan because there was an accusation made that he was responsible for the attacks on Roman Reigns. It may be one of the few times that an actual storyline was used on a pre-match.
Let's just talk about it. I mean, we're going to deviate a little bit from this topic. Buddy Murphy's getting a push now.
Well, they both got shine, really, yeah. in that match. It was nice yeah. to see Apollo
right.
actually be on the, even if it was just the pre-show, to see right. him. You know, I totally agree. Yeah, that was nice to see him. And he's getting a little bit of push. He's getting a little bit of rub. But how far can you take it, though? Is it just is his whole gimmick going to be the snitch? Like, is he going to be on the telephone? Is he going to sneak around the back and find out what's going on? Like, is this the new, what was the TV?
GTV.
Yeah,
Gold GTV. Dust TV.
You know, that's what I don't get. Like, it's cool he's getting a push, but you carry this. Like, where does it go from here?
I think inevitably it goes into a Daniel Bryan versus Buddy Murphy type of angle. I think that's the way it's
going
to go.
Oh, because that meme is great. That meme is all over the internet right now with Daniel Bryan right in his face. And that would be a fantastic match and fantastic feud.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, clearly Buddy Murphy can go. He held his own against Roman Reigns on SmackDown, even though he lost, but still nonetheless an impressive showing.
Yes, I think he and Daniel Bryan would be great. I'm not sure we're ever going to see Daniel Bryan back as champ.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think his time is gone.
Yeah, I think that's kind of up. But I mean, Buddy Murphy's been known to, you know, just hang with everybody and work these great matches. I mean, when he did the tags in NXT and when he had his relationship with Alexa Bliss, like, he could definitely handle it well from what I hear. So
I don't even know where you were going with that anyways. But
I don't really know half the time with this stuff. I get the coffee. First of all, I come in here, I get to the green room, and catering, they got the extra caffeine coffee. Did you? I know you drink decaf ringside. But I've had two cups of this extra caffeine, which is delicious, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know what brand it is. It's nice. I know we don't want to plug them on here. So it's got me a little fired up, and sometimes there might be a little confusion in my ranting, yes.
Okay. All right. So off to the races we go with the start of SummerSlam. Becky Lynch defeats Natalya.
I was glad to see Pyro open the show.
Is that
with
a mask
Pyro.
Wrestler?
No. Oh. Hispanic. He's a luchador. I was glad to see Pyro say, here's a show. This is going to be something. We don't see Pyro very often. It was nice to see it. We open up with Edge interrupting Elias. Edge was given less than 15 minutes notice.
That was on the pre-show.
Yeah, that was on the pre-show.
He was given less than 15 minutes notice. Elias actually had a song in 15 minutes notice. What a pro he is.
And that song was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
The
it
heat
was.
That he got for that was great. Like, I could... So I wasn't home. I had to watch everything pre-recorded. And that's one of the things I couldn't wait to get home. Like, I wanted to get home and watch the pre-show because this was on it. And I don't like Captain Gargoyle-looking Edge. I'm not a fan. I've never really been a fan. But I was excited for this mm-hmm. because of that and because of the Elias promo, which we've been complaining about every damn PVD caster on because he doesn't do it enough.
Yeah.
He deserves better.
He does.
He needs to be out of Shane McMahon's I'm a flunky for you, taking the fall shadow.
Hashtag Elias deserves better.
Boom.
There it is.
Okay.
There it is.
Stop jobbing
I'm
Joe.
It down.
Elias deserves better.
I'm
That's what we moved to this one. He's writing it down.
There we go.
What was that noise?
I just got an alert. That's okay. From one of the social medias out there about
from,
people following.
From legal services?
From France?
From France, yes.
Is it the Coneheads?
It is.
They're from France.
I was going to say Pepe Le Pew, but that's okay. Nice.
I'm old.
Anyways.
What happens.
So let's talk about it, though. I totally forgot. I didn't write it down about, of course, Elias's part of the pre-show. But we kick things off with Becky Lynch taking on Natalya, which I thought was a really good match.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's just two of the best women wrestlers they have, though, too. I mean, when it comes down to that. And I want to go with him on the whole pyro thing. Like, the pyro, because they wanted to cut these cost-cutting measures, but that's one of the coolest things about going to these shows, especially
live.
Yeah. Like, I remember the whole, you know, when you sit there and I'm like holding something, you know, Kane's coming out. Right. So it's going to be that big boom. And so I'm holding something and you don't have the entrance. And so, yeah, the pyro was nice. And that was, it was a really good match. And it's leading into this whole storyline, as we saw on Monday night with the return of the boss.
The boss!
As Michael Cole likes to get all excited. It's boss time.
Not only did she return to TV, she returned to her NXT character of a heel.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is so much better.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
I was a day late. I thought she would show up Sunday. She shows up on Monday.
Well, you know what? A new look. I don't understand why they just don't let her go with her natural look in terms of her hair color, because she's a stunning woman without the really gaudy blue or purple hair in this instance. I don't understand. At this point now, if she's going to be a heel, just let her go au natural, if you will, rather than the blue. Although I did laugh that both Leva Bates and Mia Yim had to go out on social media and explain that it's not stealing a gimmick because, you know, they didn't create... I think Leva Bates stated, you know, I didn't create the color blue, right? By the way, real quickly, this was the one match that we never picked winners on for the preview show.
Becky and Natalya we did?
Yeah, we did not. We skipped that one for some odd reason. I don't think
any of us would have taken Natalya.
No. No. That's definitely given.
All right, then we move on to Goldberg and his epic encounter. I use that term loosely, against Dolph Ziggler.
For the nostalgia people that, you know, that he brought into wrestling during the Attitude Era, I'm sure it was cool, and you probably got that viewership from it, you know, so people tuned in. Mm-hmm. And from an Italian, like, the nostalgia aspect, it's cool. It was just weird. You knew it was going to be as short as it was, you know. I just wish it had been like a certain element, like we spoke about, like maybe, you know, Dolph leaves, but you didn't see any of that.
No.
Like, that would have been a great continuance of the story.
Yeah.
But they just, the match happened, and they end the story there.
Yeah, and then he demands him to come back and face him again, only to get speared, what, twice, I think? Two more times, so, yeah. But we all three picked Goldberg to win, so we all agreed in that one.
Yeah, I don't think that was
I hope there's room on the tree going out on a limb like that.
Now we move on to what I thought was a really, really good match. As a matter of fact, I probably would say it's the best match on the show. AJ Styles defeating Ricochet. Rand, what are your thoughts on that match?
Well, I thought it was great action and reaction. I still think we're building AJ and his interference buddies. We're going to build somehow the Bullet Club.
You know, we didn't talk about that on the pre-show, how they teased with Finn.
Oh, yeah, right.
So on that pre-show, they teased that, which was really cool. And I thought there'd be more of a buzz about that, but there really wasn't. You know, I thought that'd been something to get people talking, like get excited, because I was excited for it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. It didn't seem to be much of a buzz that I saw. So, as far as the match goes, I think we all probably picked AJ.
We did. We all three picked AJ.
It was a clean sweep by him.
Yeah.
What the hell is Ricochet wearing?
That was the thing that both myself and Justin, who I watched with,
did he enjoy his pizza, too?
He did. Anywho, yeah, when you have abs, don't wear a shirt or whatever that was. It's kind of not wasn't a shirt. It was kind of like a, I don't know, like a long sleeves.
He looked like he should be in season two of The Boys.
I thought you were going to say you thought he was a civil guard in Wakanda.
That's another good one.
Yeah.
That's another good one. But that's what I didn't get. It was too superhero-ish.
Yeah.
Gargano, cool. The Wolverine one, I like that one. I know you don't like Gargano, so you're probably going to rip that apart. But that's cool. But with him, like, yeah, do something, you know, pause to show off your body.
Right.
Did it look like something Seth Rollins would have worn at one point?
Yeah. Like, Seth Rollins, a number of people, but again, I know this is going to sound kind of weird, but when you're built like Ricochet and you have a physique like Ricochet,
call him Ricochet because he's built like a
brick.
There you
Hashtag Ricochet. Nice.
Oh man, we are creative.
I'm writing that one down
because we're on a roll.
There you go.
Oh, is that a plug? I'm not supposed to do cheap plugs. Sorry.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. So we'll let that one slide. And there was some interference from the OC anyways to lead the victory to AJ, which I think we discussed. So, again, moving forward, and we saw on Monday night that Ricochet now has some friends, you know, in Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins to help him out, which something for Braun to do besides just nothing.
Knocking things over.
The only reason they're doing that is they're going to set up a match between Braun and Seth.
Sure, right.
I mean, that's...
Sure.
Yeah, it is something to do, for sure.
Let's get back to the push that Braun deserves and that was interrupted so many times.
Right,
Which is not going to happen.
Right, and you know that Gallows and Braun will be a decent big man match.
Could be.
Yeah, you know, so I mean...
Current Gallows. Gallows 3 months ago, no, squash.
Right.
But current Gallows, sure.
Current Gallows, yeah.
Festus, yep. Maybe.
All right, let's move on to the next ladies' match in which Bayley defeated Ember Moon.
I'm sure we all picked a clean sweep on that.
We have a clean sweep of Bayley as well. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think about this match?
Well, we touched on it last time, too. That, like, I still love her. I think she's gorgeous. But that should have been on the pre-show. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You
know, to be honest, like, what...
Switch that with the women's tag match.
Yeah, I would have done that. I think that would have been more appealing. And no offense, it's just her character, they've just let it get stale. And what is... And Ember Moon's character had a lot of character buildup in NXT, and it's stale on the main roster, in my opinion.
Which is why I'm not a big fan of Ember Moon. I don't understand what the character's supposed to be. This is what I explained when I was talking... while I was watching it with Justin. I was talking about, like, what is she? Is she a vampire warrior? Is she supposed to be, like, this Mortal Kombat-like...
Twilight?
You know, yeah, Twilight, vampire-like thing. Like, what is she? You know, and they've never clearly defined that on the main roster, or even in NXT, for that
matter. I wonder if Cornette has a rant on that, because we know he likes to rant on not telling the story behind a gimmick.
True, very true. But that definitely needed some explanation. Bayley retains. Question is, where does she move on from here?
Where does that division move on from here?
That's a good point.
I mean, we're going to talk about another women's match here, but, you know, do we need to see that again? I mean, there's a lot, especially going into Fox.
Yes.
Being on in the fall, like, where does the women's division go? Who do they put there? Do they move people in there? Do we see Shayna Baszler there? Do we see Rhea Ripley there? Like, I think she needs to be up to the main roster just because she's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like, what are we going to see in that division? And I think there's going to be a lot of change between probably, we'll see some wild stuff, I think, in the next couple months to build it before it goes on.
And I think Rousey eventually ends up over there on Fox, too.
Do we see a heel change by Bayley? Because we saw that from her former tag team partner.
True.
The Boss, and she's doing all this social media, you know, liking that she's back, this, that, and the other. We're going to see something with that. Are we going to... So there's going to be... I think it's going to get more interesting before it gets any more dull.
Rand, any thoughts on this match? Bayley and Ember Moon?
My notes were blank.
That's how entertained you were by it?
You also shoot those too, don't you?
I got that.
Okay.
Okay. Anywho, moving on. Kevin Owens taking on Shane McMahon, and Kevin Owens was victorious. And now we do have a split here because... Joey, you and I both picked Shane McMahon to win, whereas Rand picked Kevin Owens to win.
In a word, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so we have a split there.
In a word or two words, ding dong. Ding dong called this to be like this. They could have done so much more with the ending like we talked about.
I know.
Book us to write for this because it could have made it much more interesting. Going into King of the Ring now, he's in it. It's obvious Kevin Owens is going to win King of the Ring, in my opinion.
Okay.
I would take that to the bank just because the way they're going with their character. Wouldn't it be a lot cooler if this masked guy from Canada, Mr. Canucker or something, was in the King of the Ring tournament like we talked about? Like, that'd be more entertaining. It'd be more funny. You know, I mean, it's okay, whatever. Maybe we don't see Shane on TV as much now.
But that's the problem, is we still do.
Exactly.
That's
what they're going to.
Pissed me off the most. Well, I'm like, okay, so we're done with this. Good. Yay. Tune in to SmackDown. What the hell do we see within the first 15 minutes? Is Shane McMahon strolling out to interrupt KO? It's like, shit, I thought we were done with this. But we're not.
But at a time where they're signing more people than they need to use.
Right.
It's getting pretty crowded when you have Shane McMahon, who should not be on TV, taking up this much TV time.
I like him in the authority role. That's fine. Keep, you know, whatever he wants to do with that. You know, McMahon's run it. We know that. Keep them in the authority role. You know, we need to keep him out of the square circle for a while.
Yeah.
The only reason he did so good in it is because he was gone for so long. Like we've said before on here, make us miss him.
Yep.
Make us miss him. Take him off TV. Have him, Kevin Owens, go ape shit and hurt him. and put him out and make us want him to come back to TV. Yeah. And they're not giving it a chance.
Nope. Nope. So I obviously that storyline is going to continue
on. That's why Vince gets these Road Warrior pops whenever he comes out, because he's never on TV anymore.
True.
And he doesn't think the crowd goes nuts.
True. So then the next one I have on my list would be, of course, Charlotte Flair defeating Trish Stratus. And as I go to the score here, Trish Stratus was selected by both Rand and I, but Joey, you had Charlotte. So
ding, 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 ding.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. But where do they go from here with it now? But with her winning, I think we spoke about, you know, so that's going to get her to that next echelon, and Trish doesn't want to go anymore.
Right.
It's got this next echelon. What's her next challenge going to be? Because Lita? Was it going to be, you go find all these other people, you know?
Because then on SmackDown, she took on Ember Moon, and which was really a throwaway match, because what's the point? There's not a story behind this match. Rand, you're shaking your head. You agree.
I agree. There was no reason to build up, no story.
No. So we're just stuck kind of in
neutral. But here's neutral. The thing. So we're kind of stuck in neutral. Becky's got this thing going with Sasha, but this is a perfect chance they could have brought the horsewomen together right now going into Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't done that with Survivor Series on the horizon. Maybe that's something that they'll go to. I don't know. But yeah, it's just she doesn't have a program now. It's cool. So she went over on a legend. So she's going to be one of the all-time greats. But where do you go from now? Why put the title on her again?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they build the character for sure.
They have 7 or 8 weeks to build up towards Survivor Series, right?
Oh, we got a while. We got November.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And I don't know. Have they announced what the next pay-per-view is? Clash of Champions might be next.
And I'm also hearing rumors of another all-women's pay-per-view.
They don't have time for it, I don't think, now. That's what made it so special last time. It was such a great build-up for it. Where do you really go from that one? Because they had all these names, had everybody out there. It'd be tough. I would love to see it.
I believe Clash of the Champions is next, because it is September 14th.
If it's not on a Thursday night at 7:05, it's not the Clash of Champions.
Exactly. I'm going to interrupt our conversation about SummerSlam for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, and even collectibles. If you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pool system and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. What a deal, folks! Check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Or you can jump on over to the store. It's located over at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And let them know that you heard about it from me, John Orlando, and the PVD cast.
Here's the thing.
Screwed up when it comes. Nonetheless,
F these pay-per-view names. You got a thing starting tonight, King of the Ring, that they're putting on Raw and SmackDown. Bring it back as a pay-per-view. I don't give it. We would know what was up next if they did these a certain way. You don't know, because they change months, they change names, they change underwear. It's all changed.
Do you think this is part of the Bischoff-Heyman influence?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, this has already been set in stone.
Yeah.
Just with
hashtag Melaleuca.
I'm not putting that one out there.
Okay.
Right. Anyways, well, and that was one thing we totally glossed over. Why is SummerSlam so early this year? It's not the end of August.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be the hottest party of the summer.
True. Well, let's talk about a match that wasn't so hot, in my opinion. Randy Orton wrestles Kofi Kingston to a no contest. This match, I was so bored with it. I really just didn't care one way or the other. And that's what I was afraid of, that maybe the luster's worn off Kofi Mania. Orton is, you know, needs to kind of wrap up and do something else. Rand, what say you?
Never been a fan of Kofi. I appreciated the fact that he was a deserving underdog who got to push toward WrestleMania. I'm just not a big fan of Kofi. I think this was an average match. Not an average title match, an average main event on Raw or SmackDown. This was nothing special at all to me.
I'd agree. That's the best way to describe it, right?
There's a spinoff of it. This feud ain't done. We're going to see this a couple more times.
Oh, I know.
So there's plenty of room to build up.
Yeah, but if you can't, if you think it's trash, you can take trash and paint it a different color. It's still trash. That's one of the things I was looking forward to, is I'm like, okay, maybe they'll have a good match, which we spoke about. And then they can carry on a feud for a couple pay-per-views, because Kofi needs that. Well, he's got a guy he's going to work that program with, but it's not there. The it isn't there. So what do we do? Do we take the strap off him going into Fox just on a SmackDown? Maybe on that first SmackDown on Fox, the title changes hands. I think it's going to happen soon because, like, I just think that whole thing is dying.
And yet, 10 or 11 years ago, those two had some great matches.
Oh, I love their feud back then.
I remember Randy Orton had a NASCAR.
Yeah.
And Kofi came out and smashed it.
Yeah.
That, I was hot for Kofi at that point, but he hasn't done anything for me since.
Not to be confused with hot coffee.
Oh.
That's something totally different.
Which is almost gone.
All right, now into what was probably one of the highlights for in terms of entrances. We have The Fiend making his debut against Finn Balor.
If they fuck this up. I don't know if you delete these words from here, but in post-production. But if they screw this up, it's amazing. And I don't know, have you had a chance to talk? Because there's another podcast you've been affiliated with that you've done. Are we allowed to talk about it with Shank Dorsey?
Yeah, Russell Hoare. Yeah.
Okay. Have you spoke to him about this
character
at all?
I have not yet. I have not.
I think that would be somebody. I'd love to get the insight because it's such a great blend. Like, even I was kind of scared. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of freaky. I mean, it's freaky. And I hope that they just don't have to go the family friendly and they want to put it on the side. What I do like, too, is it seems like they're going to kind of just maybe save it more for pay-per-views. Like, his workload's going to be less, maybe, too.
And that would be fun. That would be fun.
They want his appearances to be special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have big shock events every week. I thought he also had a great exit.
Yeah, and that lantern was creepy as all get out.
I loved
Jesus,
it.
That scared the shit out of me.
Going back to developing his character, his entrance, exit, and his attire is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of took me back to Mankind when they first brought him in.
And a lot of people were saying that. A lot of people.
That's what I really enjoyed. And I really embraced such a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously his pedigree. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good reason why. But it was good. I think if they don't, the WWE, the E, Bray's not going to screw it up. He's in the driver's seat. He's going to run with it. It's going to be awesome. They're already pushing all the products. They got the puppets for the fun house. They got a lot of stuff behind it. I just hope they just don't pull it and they just let them run with it.
Yep.
And which is nice, too, as I think they can build towards one of the bigger shows now with the Demon versus the Fiend. That's going to be awesome.
Well, let's talk about another build that a lot of people have been behind as well is the Aleister Black build with his vignettes of who's going to knock on my door, which I have been a big fan of.
Well, here's the thing that builds these characters, too. You think it as their entrance music.
True.
They both have great entrance music.
I agree.
I've said it for years, Jim Johnston at Hall of Fame.
Doing it now. I mean, he hasn't been doing them for the last, what, 3 or 4 years now.
But
he sets the mood.
Right.
He set the tone.
He introduces characters.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
I think we all picked The Fiend to win.
As I look here at our list here, yes, we all three agreed. The one thing
I've really liked that came from it is the Ace Ventura memes. Of a picture of the Fiend next to Ace Ventura wearing the same pants.
Yes.
I thought that's been kind of funny, but no, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
And now to our main event. Seth Rollins defeated Brock Lesnar to become the champion, the Universal Champion. I was the only one that selected Seth. You two gentlemen picked Brock Lesnar.
You give him the ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Thank you. Seth finally slays the Beast and moves on to be the Universal Champion. Rand, what do you think?
Didn't they announce the next night that there would not be a rematch?
Did.
And this allows Brock to go to...
Oh, he's going to SmackDown for sure. Yeah, he's going to go down there. And you know what? All you need for that storyline, because some people have said, well, what about, doesn't that hurt Brock? No, he's going to SmackDown where he can whine and bitch and complain about Seth Rollins cheating him out of Raw so he came over here for competition. And that's all you need. You don't need any backstory for that. I think that most people would buy that hook, line, and sinker.
And by the way, a large part of Brock's initial push was winning King of the Ring when it was a pay-per-view here in Columbus. And who did he beat?
Rob Van Dam.
We were both there.
I was there as well.
I was on TV a lot.
I was clear up in the nosebleed, so I was not on TV a lot.
Brady got his ticket. Got me a ticket. Were you in on that or no? You were just...
I was like two or three behind you.
That was a cool night.
That was when King of the Ring was its own pay-per-view and was special.
And it still needs to be that. We have a separate chat going on to everybody out there in internet land. And I brought up today, I was watching the 93 King of the Ring when Hogan dropped the belt to Zuna. Where was that at? Dayton, Ohio.
At the Hera Arena?
At the Nutter Center.
Oh, okay.
How cool is that? I just it was really neat to watch some of the stuff I watched today with it, but they need to bring it back to pay-per-view. It's a great thing for pay-per-view.
I agree.
It is a great way to take a mid-card guy,
yep,
give him a strong push.
Exactly.
Get him over.
Mm-hmm.
Work for Stone Cold. Bret Hart hit one twice.
Only once.
And you can still have your championship matches. As you said, your main title. You can have a tag. You can do a couple things like that.
You got it.
So.
All right, well, let's dabble real quickly in NXT Toronto TakeOver. Look, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Ran, I'm going to be honest. I did not like NXT TakeOver.
Ouch.
I didn't.
You didn't even like the main?
No.
Because of the participants?
No, because it's as I mentioned in the preview show, it's a gimmick match within a gimmick match within a gimmick match within a gimmick match. There's no reason.
With gimmicks inside the match.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. I was bored with the main event. I was absolutely bored with it because, again, I think something that both I and Justin mentioned, believability. At the end of this match, you two should never lose ever again because you...
Kick out of everything.
Kicked out of everything, including two Canadian destroyers falling off the top. In fact, the fact of the matter is when they fell off the cage and fell through the table, I'm like, that's really not that bad of a bump compared to everything else you took kick out. Oh, you didn't. Oh. Okay.
Lacking logic.
Right. So I did not like that
match.
But
what other direction could you go with the feud with those two? That was the one that's going to just, now it's over.
Well, they should have just had the cage match and that's it.
That's it.
Not do the other two falls because I thought that was preposterous. Just do the cage match. Let them go ahead and have their fun in that. But I felt the main event. I was bored with it.
You say a cage match should be a standalone, not part of a series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so... Let's go to the beginning then. Let's start from. Let's run it down really fast.
Okay, I like the Street Profits against the Undisputed Era.
Here's why I liked it: is it continued as we will find out on TV an angle where Undisputed Era gets a rematch.
Yes,
and that's very old school. Yes. I love that. I love that whole aspect of it of the missed tag.
Yeah, I thought that this match was really really good. I think obviously though. When you look at the Street Profits, I think D'Angelo is the better worker than Montez Ford. I mean, Ford is kind of more the personality, but still, it was a very entertaining match. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a great way, a la WCW Nitro, to get things off and going. You know what I mean? With very something cool. Hot. So I liked it a lot.
TakeOver has a knack for doing that, Joe. Sure. They always have the curtain jerkers always top notch.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next match, I did not much care for this one. Io Shirai, or Io Shirai, however you pronounce it, with the new character, which I like the new character. I like that she's the heel. For lack of a better phrase, we don't have any Asian heels in the WWE, do we? No. So, I like that.
We have Nakamura.
Well, I meant on the ladies' side of things. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. Yeah.
The softer side of the pillow.
Candice LeRae and her, I didn't like this match.
Here's because you have a vendetta against the Gargano family.
I do not.
You probably have something against the mom, dad, her. There's something that runs deeper than I'm going to be on the podcast to talk about wrestling matches. You obviously don't like him. I don't know what they did. Maybe they did something at any show to you.
I did not.
Maybe you tried to have sex with her or something, and she wanted to kick your... I don't know, John.
Did but she kick out of your pen?
Is that what happened? I felt like there's something deeper here.
No.
Pun intended for you to have this hate against the Garganos.
No. I felt...
He's a nerd, too. He collects toys. You should bro him. Like, that should be one of your bros. I just don't get it. There's something weird going on. There's something happened. I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna tell everybody on the next PVD.
Inquiring minds want to know.
You're gonna start investigating.
Yep. I'm gonna start. Me and Dead Eye Dick. He's done looking for Cactus Jack. We're gonna start looking for this.
Maybe we can bring Leslie Nielsen back from the dead.
We can reanimate him with Dead Eye Dick that was looking for Cactus. He was looking for Cactus Jack.
Yes,
right?
He was. Okay. I believe he was. Yes.
Leslie Nielsen was trying to solve the two Undertakers.
Right. and we'll just have a group of people and we'll get this thing figured out. Because don't you agree, Ringside, that there's something a little deeper?
Okay. Well, I just felt that this match lacked a certain something, and that's all I'm going to say.
Somehow, was it Cleveland All-Pro? Did this happen?
No. Okay. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to the best match of the TakeOver, the three-way dance between Pete Dunne, Velveteen Dream, and, of course, Roderick Strong. Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was really, really well done.
You had three ingredients for success right there, man.
Exactly.
I'm telling Pete Dunne, if they give him a mouthpiece or if he can find a personality that fits in today's WWE, that's your next big star. We all know Velveteen Dream is going to be huge.
Yeah.
We know that. But Pete Dunne, man, he has it. He's a hell of a worker. He's young. I'm all in on this guy. And I'm not a big NXT UK guy. I'm not a big, like some people out there, but more and more I see, I am all in on him.
And then the only match we didn't discuss was the women's title match. Shayna Baszler defeated Mia Yim. Okay, where I do like the idea that Io Shirai has a new look and before the heel persona, I'm not big on Mia Yim's new persona and caricature. Just because you live in a rough neighborhood doesn't mean you have to be a hood rat. Does WWE understand that?
I agree, but I think she had a little bit of a say in it as well because she has that ass kicker mentality to her. I'm just pissed that they didn't put the strap on her. And Baszler's in her late. I know I said strap on. Hashtag strap on. How about that?
Rand has turned into Beavis and Butthead over here.
But Baszler's in her late 30s. Just get the strap off of her and put her on the main roster now. Please.
There's room.
Yeah, there's plenty of room.
There's a lot of backlash online and on social media that Shayna is boring. That's what a lot of people said about this particular match, and that's why.
But there's things you can do to refine that so it's not.
Sure.
And they need to do something different with her than besides her winning these title matches all the time. And Yim was the perfect one that fell into this, and these people that she's been defending, these ladies she's been defending the title against, that you could have put it on.
Yeah, I also felt like this match lacked a certain something. I don't know what it was, but it just kind of...
Well, they didn't have... The chemistry wasn't there.
Yeah, something didn't work.
The best part about it, to me, was the entrance, and Matt Riddle was one of the hype people for me again.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's another thing we haven't talked about, is that impromptu fight
Killian
Dane.
Well, because I felt like that should have just been on a regular episode of NXT. Like, why are you wasting 5 minutes of my time on this?
Because I think they're trying to advance that feud, and I think that has to be a very hard-hitting, wild feud.
So, if I may ask, though, I thought Killian Dane got fired or got released. Or was it Alexander Wolfe that got released?
Wolfe's over in NXT UK.
UK, right. That's what I thought. But I thought that I read somewhere that Killian Dane got released.
I think he was on their version of waivers.
Okay.
Kind of like how Harper's kind of
just
tweeting his same thing every day. They found a way to bring Dane back, and I think it's great. I think it's going to be a cool feud. What's amazing is they had a lot of faith in Dane, and they put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal a couple years ago out of the NXT, and then they really didn't do much. So maybe this will be a chance to further both of their characters.
Well, today is Monday the 19th is when we're recording this episode. It is anticipated that tonight on Raw some major news is going to happen. And I guess we should just go ahead and talk about it. We may be seeing Wednesday Night Wrestling Wars in the near future. The rumor is NXT being put on USA on Wednesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. on September 18th, I believe, in the middle of September, to do battle with AEW, who then debuts October 2nd. So many questions. One, is Vince going to be involved, as the rumor has been circulating? Two, was the FSN or FS1 deal done because of their possible streaming service? Three, will Rand actually watch now? Anywho, so many things, so many questions.
You got that dig before I did. I was going to say something about that. I was just waiting. I'm watching you just say it. I'm waiting for you to just kind of get quiet. And I want to say something. 8 to 10, I like it. I think it's great. They're going to be live every week. I think it gives a chance for a lot of people that don't watch to watch and then start getting emotionally invested in these people. What is nice, though, is I think it kind of takes them from just being on there and being the minor league to being a third brand.
Yeah.
And that's what's nice. So they're getting the spotlight for that. I'm pretty excited I think it's going to be really cool for to do a Wednesday night war because it's kind of, that's going to be great for both ends and for both sides of the coin, in my opinion.
Hopefully, because let's talk about a couple of the X factors, some things that we, you know, that I did reference one of them. How much is Vince McMahon going to be involved in the NXT product? That, I think, right off the bat, will be the first indicator of the success of the of this war. I hope Triple H stays in charge of it because he's done very, very well with bringing this great action to us through NXT. He needs a total control. Vince, stay out of it. Go run the XFL.
What is Steven Regal's role?
Well, he's probably still going to be that online or on-screen manager or whatnot. General manager, excuse me.
Well, I think you just said it with what you're going to say. The XFL is right around the corner. Vince is going to have a lot of time for wrestling.
Yeah.
He's got, I mean, he is, that's a whole financial venture on his end.
Right.
So I think he's going to have to back off of it. So I think this is one of his ways to kind of start handing the reins over to other people.
Hopefully.
If not, he's insane to be that age and be putting in those many hours. Mm-hmm. We all know he is insane. And Bruce Pritchard will talk about how insane he is. But I don't see him having as big a part as some people are worried about.
Well, and then the other side of the coin is, will AEW now step up their game? Because I think, you know, objectively looking at it, there's still a lot of question marks surrounding AEW.
A ton.
You've signed some folks that might be questionable and controversial.
Yeah.
You have pretty much kind of basically just comedy wrestling. And then straight out, oh my God, luchador action, and that's it. And then a sprinkling of this and that. Well, you're not going to win a Wednesday Night Wrestling war unless you give 31 flavors, you know, a little bit of everything to everyone. You know what I mean? Is this going to force AEW to step up their game?
Competition always improves both. Is important. We'll see if AEW is legit.
I think it depends on how much Cody wants to stop trying to be like the WWE light. And he wants to kind of take it and do his own thing. Like he's kind of, there's still that whole.
They haven't found an identity.
Exactly.
I agree. I think that they got to figure that out very, very quickly and do so. And somehow, like, they just got to say, this is wrestling that you loved in the 80s and this is what we're going to bring. Or this is the new shit, the luchador style. You know, they got to pick something and then still keep. I'm not saying to get rid of the librarians or to get rid of some of this other comedy haha, but tone it down a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, and then focus on what your mission statement is per se in your product.
When WCW went out of business, a lot of those fans disappeared because they did not go to WWE.
Right.
So there is a segment of the audience that's out there because wrestling as a whole is down probably 40-50%.
That's a great question, Rand. I would say
network-wise.
I'm not sure on that, but going to go with your point though is I think NWA is trying to capture that by redoing TV tapings at Center Stage, which they've announced
correct.
Billy Corgan came out and announced. I don't know if you had saw that. So I think I'm firmly behind whatever Cody's going to do. I think he's got a very creative mind. I think he's got some creative people involved. I think they got to run shows to get that identity going.
Right.
And unlike anybody else who's thought about getting into wrestling, he's bankrolled. He's got the money behind him.
He does. And, you know, one final wrinkle, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, it was NXT was going to go to FS1. That was the rumor. I'm wondering how much of the decision to move to USA was, one, we could stick it to Cody and the Bucks in AEW, and two, the rumor is Fox Sports is all supposed to be a streaming service here in the near future. Like, ergo, why some cable networks are not carrying Fox Sports right now because of the ongoing possibility of that streaming service as well as, like, contractual stuff. So, I mean, if you're looking at, as we talked about today in our own little group chat, definitely I think putting NXT on USA gets more eyes on that product.
Oh, it's great.
So I think it's a win.
Win-win.
I did see a commercial last night on the NFL on Fox for wrestling coming up.
Really?
I did have a WWE commercial.
Really? Huh.
Very nice.
Well, it certainly will be interesting to see what happens when mid-September rolls around and then obviously October and when this war actually does indeed kick off. So, gentlemen, anything else you want to throw out there real quick? We got a few more extra minutes here real quick before we have to start wrapping things up.
I think Rand has some randomness maybe might want to.
I've got eight. I got 7 points here, but I think we pretty much covered them.
No, well, look at that.
They're burying Finn Balor. He won't win a title. He'll join a Bullet Club.
Well, they're burying him because he's going to take time off.
Right. He'll come back. He'll be in the Bullet Club. I think we're moving away from Daniel Bryan, Drew McIntyre.
See, I think McIntyre wins. That's my pick for the King of the Ring. I think he wins the King of the Ring.
My dream was he beats Ricochet in the finals. Oh. They have a first-round match.
Yeah, I think it'll come down to McIntyre and Owens.
Okay. I think McIntyre goes over. You know, here's one other thing real quick just to throw it out there because you mentioned it a few moments ago. No pop for Finn talking to the OC. Has the Bullet Club maybe reached its point? Like, is it now kind of the popularity starting to wane?
I don't think so. I think
you don't think so?
Bring it together, I think. Because what things we're talking about that's missed at the WWE level is these factions. I think you can build the faction. I think it'll...
But not too many factions. Let's not go back to circa 1998, 1999, where everybody had a faction.
Like Los Barriquas?
Los Barriquas.
The Truth Commission?
The Truth Commission.
Ooh.
The DOA.
8-Ball, Chain, Skull.
And Crush.
Crush.
Who was Truth Commission's first manager?
Cyrus the Virus?
No, before that.
No, they had a guy before that. He was a South African guy.
De Beers?
No.
Oh, gosh.
No.
But he reminded me of De Beers.
Yes.
He was an older guy, wore fatigues.
Yes. His name was, what was his name?
I can't remember. Some commandant type.
I don't remember. Yeah, he was the commandant something.
He came in a two-pack. So, let's crossover, when they released the toys, wasn't he in that two-pack with Kurgan?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Recon, Kurgan, Cyrus, Havoc.
Havoc was one of them, yeah, I think. I can't remember the other one's names.
I can't remember any of them.
But, I mean, that was the era of everybody had a faction.
But... Do you want to build up factions just for Survivor Series, or do you want to keep it past that?
I want to keep it past it, but I don't want too many. I'd like, there's some of these people need to find their identity, and you put them with other people. Like I said before, I think there needs to be a really cool faction with the AOP. I think they need to bring them back. I need to put them in a faction with a couple people. I think there's guys that could benefit from being in a faction.
Yep.
And you benefit, you have your instant made tag team matches and feuds against other teams.
Exactly.
Yep, there you go. All right, then, gentlemen, let's go ahead and start wrapping this bad boy up. DJ Joey Blaze, where can people find you on the social media?
Once again, je suis Joseph Blaze. At DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter. Yes, you can access that from France. I'd be happy to speak as many things in French with you. And if you're a cute-looking lady, I am a good French kisser. So I'm putting that out there as well.
Next time I will try to have some French baguettes here
for us all. What'd you call me?
Baguettes.
Oh, French baguettes. Oh, yes. Bread. I'm sorry.
I would never use such vulgar language on my podcast.
I just got really confused for a second. I thought you were Sergeant Slaughter and called me a maggot. My fault. Who we're going to see on September 8th at the toy show.
Sergeant Slaughter's going to be there.
And
right.
Ming.
No way. Ming?
Yes. I'm taking a wooden chair and I'm going to bust it over his head. He doesn't know it yet.
Well, unless he listens to this podcast.
Maybe he's in France listening to it.
I can't tell you how much that would make my day if I found out Ming was an avid listener of the PVD cast.
I think we need to try and make that happen.
We do. Anyways, Rand?
On Twitter at... The Rand Dittmar. I'm trying to copyright. You just use that Rand Dittmar.
Okay, there you go. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand as we sat down and discussed SummerSlam, what happened at that pay-per-view, what's happening in the world of pro wrestling coming out of that event. And I hope you enjoyed it. And if you would like to get in touch with me to let me know one way or the other, you're more than welcome to do so. You can do it a couple different ways. First off, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp.
And you can leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And, of course, there are a lot of places where you can hear the PVDcast. Obviously, the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com, is a great place to hear it. But it's also available through a plethora of other possible podcast platforms. The list keeps growing and growing. I just recently added the radio.com app, Deezer, iHeartRadio. So basically, probably the best thing to do if you're confused as to where to get it is just open up Google and type in the PVDcast, and you'll get all the different places where you can listen and pick whichever podcast platform you like. But one way to avoid missing any episode is easy. All you got to do is subscribe. All you got to do is rate and review as well once you've subscribed to the PVDcast, and let people know that you enjoy it. And you know, there's one thing that I do enjoy personally, and that's a good book. And that brings me to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So to download your free audiobook today, just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. Did you like that little segue, that little transition there? That was pretty slick, wasn't it? All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.